Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gilcast. You're either listening to this on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast feed or the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Football feed. I'm Davis Matic, joined by Nate Noling and Sammy Reed. And Sammy, the people asked me to rank the shows, right, in terms of like listening enjoyability. So the most entertaining shows are when all three of us lose. The second most entertaining is when I lose. Nate and Sammy, you guys both win. Third most entertaining is when Nate loses. Actually, I personally, for me, when Nate loses and you and I win, I think those shows are the most hilarious because yes. It's just, it really is all on warfare. I would say this particular combination in which Nate and I win and you lose, I would say it's not the people's favorite. I really would say that this, generally speaking, is not what the people are tuning in to hear.
You know, interestingly enough, it's not my favorite either.
I wish the people could see the video. Sammy looks like he aged 20 years over the past 24 hours.
I'm like the dude at the end of Indiana Jones when he drinks from the wrong Holy Grail, when he makes the wrong swap. And he thinks it's going to give him eternal life. Doesn't work out. That's me.
Well, it's been a good day here.
It's been a good day.
It's been a great day here.
I mean, my Dallas Cowboys lost. My fake Dallas Cowboys, though. How are we feeling about the Steelers as the best team in the NFL, Sammy? How are we feeling about that take?
I see what you're trying to do here. You're trying to pump me up a little bit before we talk about my egregious lineup. And I really appreciate it. Nobody's beaten the Steelers yet, so best team. Easy game.
You still feel Super Bowls in the future?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You think I just spent a lot of James Conner in GPP and faded that scrub Miles Sanders.
We should actually, I want to talk a little bit about like chalk running backs in, because I think today's slate was just like a great example of like, no matter how good a play is, it can always go bad at, you know, X amount of ownership percentage. But we should talk about our actual teams. Let me pull up our three-man. Did we all play Kyler Murray at quarterback? Nate, I think you and I played the exact same team.
We did. The three-man got one of my GPP teams, but we did have the same cash team.
Nate's CSV upload continues to have issues.
Nate played Burkhead in the three-man.
Good play, Nate.
Hey, my three-man put up 178 points, and that was my best GPP lineup of the day. But my cash lineup, we had the same, Davis.
Yeah, so we all played Kyler Murray. Kyler, I would say, was bad. I would actually say for Kyler Murray baselines in this game against Detroit, he threw three interceptions. He really did not run all that much. He had one incredible rushing touchdown, but like, you know, it was a pretty, I mean, Nate, what would you say? This was like a C-minus Kyler game, probably.
Yeah, Kyler needs to run more. Almost every time he did take off and run, it was a good play. Like, I mean, he just can do so much with his legs, but he made some terrible decisions with those throws.
Yeah, he also couple. Has this like big windmill, like baseball throwing motion that, I mean, teams are just like, I mean, Detroit picked him off multiple times. I mean, come on.
Yeah, the three interceptions were like, from a expected points added standpoint, like brutal. So yeah,
cut it down a little bit, bro.
Yeah,
this is how much I was not considering playing any other quarterback. I literally just was looking. I didn't even know how much Kyler Murray cost, because like I wasn't like scrolling through quarterbacks and like thinking about like, oh, swaps with, you know, Russ or Dak or whatever. Like I just was like, Kyler was, he was the play. I mean, Sammy, you generally are better than Nate and I. Nate and I like the group think stuff, because you're just not nerding out as hard. You know, you have a life and a kid and stuff. Were you at any point looking at the slate like, oh, you know, I want to play Russ, I want to play Dak, I want to play Dwayne Haskins, Jeff Driskel, you know, whoever?
Yeah, I had Russ for a bit this week. I ended up going back down to Kyler, so just the way it worked. I thought, you know, my decision, I really like McLaurin, so it was kind of like Russ and McLaurin versus Murray and at one time Tyler Lockett, which would have been a really good play, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if I want to put on my captain hindsight stuff, I think all of us were so into the Dallas-Seattle game, so into specifically, you know, all of us when making our lineups were like, you know, one of Lockett or Metcalf is just so clearly like, you got to play him. Maybe sacrifice, like, not playing Hopkins or something to play Russ at quarterback. You know, like
No.
Probably being that into Kyler was like to not even consider playing Russ, I guess, was probably a mistake.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Kyler projected just as well as any other quarterback through most projection systems and especially on a per dollar basis. And at the end of the day, you don't really want to spend your excess salary on quarterback. Like you find a quarterback at a mid-level price who you think is really good, like Kyler, who's been running a ton and, you know, big implied team total. And it's like, okay, we'll go there. So while I do think like there's certainly consideration to go elsewhere, I think Kyler just like game theory wise was a fine play, and I don't think it should be second guessed.
Yeah, Nate. I mean, do you have any after thinking through the slate, after watching things go through, do you have any thoughts on the Kyler Murray quarterback situation? I mean, I guess
no.
I'm just thinking like, man, Russ is just going to get 40 every game, and maybe we should just do that.
I was never going to play Russ. I mean, he obviously he's Russ. He's great. But, like, I don't know. I was on Kyler 100% all week. I think the only other quarterback I even considered was maybe Stafford. I think I might have considered at one point. But it was
such a neat play.
Dude, Stafford's like in a spot like this, Stafford would have been a fine play if he had more of a discount on DraftKings.
Yeah, that is not true.
That is not. Yeah, Nate.
Yeah.
This is one thing I've noted though, is like the pass only quarterbacks with how much some of these guys are going nuclear. Like the pass only quarterbacks are just losing propositions. Like Ben Roethlisberger and these guys, like they are not going to be on GPP winning teams this year because like they have to throw for like 450 yards and six touch. Like they got to just go absolutely ham to get an optimal lineups.
Yeah, and Russ and Dak are, like, doing that and running also, so.
Yeah. All right, moving towards the running backs, did we all play the same three? Jonathan Taylor, Kenyon Drake, and Miles Sanders?
Yeah, we did.
Jonathan Taylor may be a little disappointing at that price tag.
You know, Nate, you're so mentally weak for playing Taylor after you said you weren't going to.
Okay,
you should have just kept your guns, bro.
I said, you said, what price would he have to be to not play him? And I said, above 7K. He was exactly 7K.
Check the tape.
That's exactly what I said.
No, you said he was a bad play at 7K?
No, you said
you said you wouldn't play him.
Yeah, somebody rewind this tape.
You Nate's said at what take price, and I said tape. At 7K. I played him. But, if anything, I shouldn't have.
Well, Nate, if you had projected the New York Jets to run more plays and have equal time of possession while scoring 7 points while the Indianapolis Colts scored 31 points, I would like to have access to your crystal ball.
Look, I mean, if you had a crystal ball that told you that Indianapolis was going to return 2 defensive touchdowns, I'd tell you, like, that's a pretty accurate system.
No, the guy I wanted to play was – I felt the weakest about Drake at his price tag and wanted to play Singletary over Drake. The reason I didn't was just because the wide receiver position, like the upgrade from what I played was not great enough to make that transition. But I honestly don't think – I think Drake was the weakest of the three. But I actually, like, cards on the table, I thought Taylor and Sanders were pretty much slam dunks here.
So are we convinced that Drake is good at all? Or did we just like?
I have never been convinced, but it was just like the team total was so high. He had 36 carries through 2 weeks. They'd been going to him on the goal line, it seemed like they were making it a priority to give him those 1 yard touchdowns. And also, I thought that sort of because you know we were playing Kyler and all of us were pretty confident. Well, at least I was pretty sure I wanted to play DeAndre Hopkins. I kind of liked that built-in stability where, like, you know, if something funky happens, Arizona gets a special teams touchdown, they're up, you know, they're up 21-3 at half or whatever. It's like it just builds in a little bit more of that Drake carry equity. And that might be fish. I don't know. I'm still thinking through, like, playing Drake.
I don't believe in Drake at all. It was just a running back with his team. Like, this could be Edmonds' backfield by the end of the year. I wouldn't be shocked by that.
By the end of next week, bro. Drake sucks. He fished us all.
Sammy Tilt coming in hot.
You know what? Like, screw everybody I played in every lineup this week. Let me just throw that out there, especially Drake. Like, the guy's a scrub.
So I think that we might be having this conversation next week again, because the Cardinals play on the main slate and they play the Carolina Panthers.
Dang. Which is Drake.
Yeah, like that's the thing. So it's I don't think any of us were like, Kenyon Drake, he's the best ever. But it was the spot and it was the price. Like, if he was the same price as Jonathan Taylor, or even really as Miles Sanders, I think if he was $500 more expensive, I would have just played Singletary, I think, and not have played Drake. But Drake was, like, this never happens. Drake was less expensive on DraftKings than he was on FanDuel.
Yeah.
Drake was, like, outside of Singletary, though, those were the only four running backs in cash you could have considered, right? I mean,
You could have played, like, I think that I guess I didn't look at any Zeke combinations, but, like, if someone played Zeke, I wouldn't have been like, you know, you're a dumb idiot fish, basically.
Cause, I mean, at 83, what he would have done the rest of your lineup would have been tough. But I didn't consider, like, any other guys other than those four running backs. Like, it was so clear to me that it was three of those four.
Yeah, well, people who played, like, Derrick Henry in cash and Dalvin Cook in cash, like, just absolutely took my lunch money today. I'm just looking through the double ups.
Everybody took your lunch money today, but
– oh, yeah. My God. Like, I'm going to be eating SpaghettiOs for 2 months. This is obscene.
Well, the other thing I wanted to talk about was, like, all of these guys, Sanders, Drake, Jonathan Taylor, they were, like – the mega stone chalk in GBPs, and none of them got there, right? So, like, this was like the all leverage GPP slate, because if you had just stuck with all the chalk Dallas and Seattle guys, right? So we had, you know, we had Gallup, we had Metcalf, we had Lockett, all those guys, and they all smashed. I didn't look and see what the Millie Maker winning team is, but I would, you know, I like Lockett is going to be on that team. I would assume Russ is on that team. I would assume Gallup is on the Millionaire Maker winning team. Like, Burkhead, all you would have had
the leverage.
Yeah. And our projections really liked him at DR. And I just hit that exclude button. Just hit it. I was like, I don't want it. I want all my teams to have Henry. I want them all to have Sanders. I want all of them to have Drake. I tried to go a little bit lighter on Drake and GPP, but it just didn't even really matter, because the guy I had the most of was Jonathan Taylor. And, you know, I don't really know if it was Jonathan Taylor's fault per se, but like the Jets are like actually so bad that maybe it's bad to play guys against them, because Jacoby Brissett got in this game in the fourth quarter, dude. Like it was like over early.
Oh yeah. I mean, they returned two touchdowns and they were kind of like rotating a little bit. They got Wilkins in there some, Naheem Hines in there some. I mean, we kind of got fooled a little bit with Taylor, because he got like seven targets that first week, and he really hasn't gotten many targets the last couple weeks, like one each game, something like that. So I think it may be a little time to reevaluate Taylor, but also, I mean, if this game was even somewhat competitive, like he would have gotten those fourth quarter carries, and instead he just had this like light, like day, like go out, have a couple carries, lucky to get in the end zone, and like see you later, you're out of there.
Yeah, so
he just didn't get any volume.
He got no volume, and I think the other – like, the most frustrating thing is I just wanted to dunk on Nate. Like, I didn't want Nate to play him, and I wanted him to have, like, 27 carries, three catches, 148 yards, and two touchdowns.
Go back and listen to the tape. What I said is exactly – like, I literally said, like, whatever – if you pay more than 7K for him, I think that's a bad move. We don't know what his true reception workload is going to be. He ended up with – low target share. Naheem Hines is still involved regardless of how the game script went. This is the risk you run with a running back like him that is such a great runner. But from a passing game standpoint, like, Naheem Hines is going to still be involved. Like, he just will.
Dude, Naheem Hines got like one touch last week.
Yeah.
Fluke.
I don't really think it is, man. I think it's pretty clearly Jonathan Taylor time. For the
like
Colts.
Naheem Hines. Naheem Hines will be involved.
Hines got seven carries, five targets. I don't know, man.
Man, I wish Taylor got seven carries and five targets. Be rich.
I mean, I guess the interesting thing is looking at, I literally didn't even open up a double up today, because I really was never sweating it at any point, to be honest with you.
Man, what a sick brag. This is just so tilting. Can we just talk about the tilt? I gotta get this off my chest.
Yeah, you gotta get it off your chest. So let's talk about why Nate and I just breezed in and you had a bad time.
Oh my God. Okay, so this is why I had a bad time. So the three receivers I went with were Lockett, CeeDee Lamb, and Deontay Johnson. And of course, in the morning games, you know, Deontay Johnson is just like complete stone lock, like Pittsburgh's number one receiver for 5.4K at home. Like, it's just like going to get extremely lit. And then he just like gets no targets for a quarter and gets concussed and finishes with like 0.9 points on an end around. And so I'm going into the afternoon games and I'm just like, okay. So I've been watching my kid and watching the games and like, I'm waiting for my wife to come in so she can take this kid so I can like, you know, look at my lineups. And so finally with like 5 minutes before the afternoon games start, my wife comes in, takes the baby. I'm like, all right, cool. I go outside, start vaping furiously, looking at my lineups. I'm like, shoot, man, like this Deontay Johnson thing has like got me sunk. I need to make a swap somewhere. And so I swapped in DK Metcalf for Lockett. Because, you know, I'm just like, oh, they project pretty similarly. DK will be owned a lot less. I need to court a little volatility here. And then, of course, Lockett catches a long broken touchdown, and I'm tilting. But then, DK Metcalf.
But then.
Catches a long open touchdown, and I'm like, yeah. But wait, no. He's going to start showboating at the 2-yard line. He gets a ball slapped out of his hands. It goes out of the end zone, and I am on full-blown tilt. My hair is falling out in clumps. And then Lockett keeps catching touchdowns. And every touchdown he catches is just like a toilet plunger to my rectum. And he finishes the first half with 3 touchdowns. And I'm just sitting here broke and despondent because I made this like, Davis is texting me like, yeah, bro, you gonna swap? These are the swaps you make, bro. Are you gonna swap? And he keeps texting me, and so I'm like, shoot, should I swap?
I'm trying to help you, dude. I know that you're out living your life. I'm trying to help you. You were literally you would not have won any money either way. So I was trying to help you, dude.
If Lockett like tears an ACL and Metcalf goes out and smashes, you might have hope.
Let me just say this: I hate the both of you very, very much and very deeply. And now I'm broke and I'm accepting. Can I drop my Cash App on the pod here? Or like, how do people send me money? Yeah, dude, I need to go fund me. Like,
you got a kid now, guys. You need to pay for that lunch money.
Just so brutal. So I'm just like complete tilt box. And yeah, I got completely smashed and it sucks.
So let's talk about the 2v2 because this was the 2v2 that all people who are good at fantasy sports had. Like, this was from people playing $1 head-to-heads to, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars of action, right? This was the 2v2 they had, and it was KJ Hamler, DeAndre Hopkins versus Deontay Johnson and CeeDee Lamb. So Nate and I went KJ Hamler and DeAndre Hopkins, and like divorce from the results. This is why I think it was not even why I think it was right. This is why I made this decision. Wide receivers are just insanely volatile, right? Like these guys, they can drop passes. They can have uncatchable targets. I mean, we
concussions, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Like, well, I'm not even really thinking so much about the injuries, but just more, like, it's just so, it's easier for wide receivers to fail. And at the same time, as long as you can project them to like be on the field and see targets, it's easier for weird fluky stuff to happen and for them to succeed, right? As opposed to running backs. So my thoughts were Lamb and Deontay are clearly to me the best mid-tier wide receiver plays, you know, obviously excluding Metcalf and Lockett and Cooper. And I thought they were both underpriced. Would not have surprised me for Johnson and Lamb to be in the 6Ks with those guys. And I would have thought that they were playable there as well. But basically, kind of what I thought was Nuke is literally Michael Thomas now, where it's just like he sleepwalks into 20 DraftKings points just like when the game starts. And I really did not want to fade that. And KJ Hamler was like in the worst game environment ever. And I kind of was just looking at my lineup and I'm like, how often does 3 for 30 here kill me? And that was like literally my thought was like, how often is 3 for 30 kill me? and it didn't kill me, right? Because that's literally exactly what he got. He literally got three for, like, when people are talking about cheap wide receivers, they say 3 for 30, and that's actually what Hamler got. And I mean, he honestly probably ran good to get 3 for 30 because the Broncos are an egregious professional football team. So, Nate, you think about things differently than me generally. How did we end up on the same team this week?
Well, I did not have that 2v2 that you talked about. I don't think I considered Deontay CD. I think CD for me is – I view CD as much more volatile than I think most people in the industry at this point. I think that the Dallas wide receiver crew of Amari, Gallup, and CD are all extremely talented. But, like, I still don't believe after 2 weeks that I really know what that target share distribution is going to be. But, like, CD, I think, is the third wide receiver on that team. And, like, I'm not going to not have DeAndre Hopkins, who I projected to have, like, the most targets on the slate by far in the highest team total on the slate. By far, like, DeAndre was just such a slam dunk for me that no way am I going to get off of him for a third wide receiver and then a probably number one. Like, there's an argument to be made that Juju's still the number one in Pittsburgh. I understand that Deontay, like, is right there.
I don't think so. I think
still an argument to be made. Like, it's not as clear cut as, like, obviously Deontay, I think, is talented, but, like, we're 2 weeks into the season. Let's not, like, Juju could totally slam dunk on this the rest of the season and just, like, make us look like idiots for the first 2 weeks thinking Deontay Johnson had surpassed Juju. Juju is extremely talented at his age. It is totally feasible that he's still a number one wide receiver in Pittsburgh. So I just never considered getting off DeAndre for that. So that wasn't a 2v2 that I considered. And so I don't know. I mean, it was like when you lock in those three running backs and then you get the two best wide receivers on the slate and DeAndre and Lockett, it was like, I mean, Hamlin was like just a necessary evil, but I probably could have taken a zero from him.
Hamlin, this guy doesn't even know. This guy doesn't even know his name. Can Nate, need tell to know me
his
name?
His CSV files uploaded it different.
Tell me a biographical fact about KJ Hamler. Do you know where he went to college?
No, I don't know where anybody went to college, dude.
Do you know anything about him? Do you know which wide receiver position he plays?
He plays the X, doesn't he?
I don't even really know. I watched none of this game. This game was never on Red Zone and I was not flipping to it.
No, I played him because at his price and the air yards that he had last week, with Sutton going down, I just viewed him as like a potential. I didn't need much from him, but I actually viewed him having upside at that price tag. So, I mean, he had over 100 air yards last year, and I'll take over 100 air yards at 3K, like, if it gets me Hopkins and everything else. But, again, that was not my 2v2. My 2v2 was what I told you guys, which was Singletary and Curtis Samuel versus Drake and Hamlin. And Sammy, like, was like, Samuel who? Like,
well, you said Samuels, and I think we both thought for a second that you meant Jalen Samuels. I don't know why, but we both thought that.
No, yeah, and Samuel, then he corrected himself because Nate has, like, no idea who anybody even playing football is.
No, it was autocorrect on my freaking iMessage. At the end of the day, I think Curtis Samuel was definitely in play today. And, I mean, I should have swapped down to Singletary off Drake.
How did Curtis Samuels do today?
He had four catches and four carries, and he got like six DraftKings points or eight DraftKings points.
No, better than Deontay Johnson.
I think he had 9.5 or something.
So let's, because I know we all looked at some different combos.
Do you guys really think CD is not the third wide receiver on Dallas though?
Well, no, it's Cedric Wilson, bro.
Yeah, bro, I mean, Cedric Wilson just cucking CD Lamb all day. I was like, okay, if I'm going to get back into this, I need CD to make some plays. And then their slot guy kept catching stuff and taking it to the house, and it's Cedric Wilson. Cedric Wilson, like, who is that? What's he doing? Like, was that the guy who used to be on the 49ers?
No, they drafted him in the fourth round 2 years ago.
But seriously, like 5.6 for a third wide receiver on that team, even though Dallas was in a great spot. Like,
dude, he got
a volatile play.
In a game that's
yeah, no, Nate, this Nate, this is a donkey take.
Yeah,
just, I understand just, that. I'm saying when your target share projection for the team is as volatile as it is for the Cowboys, this could totally have been a Gallup game. It could have been a Cooper game.
They're all going to get minimum 7 targets a week.
All right. That's a volatile target share.
Nate, Dak is just going to throw for 400 yards literally every week. Like, it's just, they're down every game 10-0 to start with because the defense is so bad and they don't call the good plays in the first half. So they spend the entire half throwing, they spend the entire second half throwing the ball. It's just the reality of the situation.
Zachary Wilson, unbelievable. CeeDee Lamb could have done that, you know.
I mean, Gallup could have had more touchdowns.
Yeah. Cooper could have gotten more targets too.
Egregious. Egregious. I mean, you know. It basically everybody I played in my whole lineup sucks.
A lot of sharp people had the Deontay CD team. I just didn't see it. I was like, that was nuts.
Wait, so you also you didn't play Hopkins at all, right? Originally? Is that right, Sammy?
Yeah, I never had Hopkins.
Yeah, he never had Hopkins.
Okay. Yeah, then
it's a bad team.
Yeah, we got to go all the way back. I think that we should roast you over the coals a little bit for this McLaurin play.
I didn't play McLaurin.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So who were your wide receivers going into noon? Like noon hits.
How did Lamb and Deontay Johnson?
And you just felt gold about fading DeAndre Hopkins, like.
You know, I mean, kind of the thing is I didn't especially want to have all three Cardinals. I didn't want to just like push all in with the Cardinals because like the Cardinals are okay. And they're pretty good. I like them, but I didn't want to just overexpose myself in that regard. And I mean, I had the 2v2 that Davis was talking about and I just said, you know what? Part of the thing about them being such a big favorite is if they go up, like they're going to stop throwing. And yeah, Hopkins can get a bunch of targets, but if he gets 10 targets and goes, you know, 7 for 89, it's like, what did I lose? Obviously ended up doing a lot better than that. And, you know, I think I probably took the theory of it a little too far, just not wanting to have Drake and Murray and Hopkins all in the same cash lineup. You know, but it was a mistake. I mean, Hopkins was basically, like when you guys faded Devontae Adams week one, I mean, he's basically Devontae Adams in that spot. And so, you know,
but not like when Nate played Devontae Adams last week.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not just going to play Hopkins next week because I'm mentally weak. Like I'm going to learn from my mistakes and I'm going to take a fresh look. But yeah, I do think it was a mistake not to jam in Hopkins at all costs because he was probably clearly better than by a good standard deviation, better than any other receiver on the slate.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, the lineup that actually made sense before Locke that ended up being the nuts was you literally just play Russ, you play Metcalf, and you play Lockett, and just don't even worry about it, you know?
I mean, that would have been sharp.
Yeah.
Yeah. So are we
– Sammy, totally... that was with the lineup you sent. You sent that lineup on Tuesday with Kyler. It was Lockett and Metcalf, and you –
No, it wasn't.
I'm almost certain it was.
No,
you
it wasn't.
Had that lineup.
I would not play. No, it was Russ and neither of the receivers.
Oh, okay. You never mind. I credit you for being sharp. You're an idiot. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
Davis, we're playing Russ who throws for 5 touchdowns.
Where are we at on the whole? Like, is Russ just going to cook the rest of the year or are we ever going to get shot?
Carlos Hyde just tore his ACL, probably.
So, like, are we good to play Russ and Cash? Are all those concerns about like Seattle passing game?
I think like, you project now? Him like you project Mahomes now. Yeah.
Okay. Cause that's like another fear of mine. Like Russ always rates out as a great play. But I always am concerned of like, there could totally be a game where Russ throws 20 times and I just like throw my computer through a wall. And I'm like so scared of that, even though like what he's doing right now, it seems like Lockett and Metcalf should be slam dunks every week.
Russ is playing the Dolphins next week. BT dubs.
So 20 pass attempts.
Imagine if they let him cook in that spot.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I have so much fear that I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know. I don't really know I don't really – I think that literally there's a chance that Russell Wilson wins the MVP, throws for 5,300 yards and 52 touchdowns, and we're sitting there in week 10 like, man, but what if this is the game? They re-sign Marshawn Lynch, and he comes back, and he's like there at halftime, and they just give Marshawn Lynch 20 second-half carries. Like, I'm with that.
Well, I mean, part of the deal is that Seattle's defense, I don't think they're that great. They're okay. But, you know, it's like Dallas's defense is really bad also. So they're just giving up a bunch of points, and when they do that, it puts their quarterbacks in these spots. And, you know, I just think at the end of the day, like, that's the, you want to gravitate toward these teams that are just every game they play, they're just giving up a bunch of points and they're scoring a bunch of points. Like, you want that. You want that. I should have wanted this more.
Can we talk about the fact that Josh Allen is just continually going to be like 1% owned and like smashing every single week?
I mean, he wasn't 1% owned by me. He was my most owned quarterback on both sites in tournaments.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Josh Allen is he's in that spot where they just always give him the ball at the goal line. Like, he makes all of their touchdowns. I think they gave Singletary, like, one shot from the goal line, and he didn't get in. They're like, okay, screw this. And they just give Josh Allen a bunch of shots at, like, running it in and passing it in. And he has so many opportunities that he's just making touchdowns all the time. Like, he's not getting scavenged by the running backs.
Yeah, I mean, the brutal thing with him is literally – oh, I guess Tyler Kroft got there, right? But, like, he got there as, like, the second or third highest scoring quarterback of the slate, and Diggs didn't get there, Brown didn't get there, Singletary didn't score a touchdown and didn't have enough points to be GPP eligible. I guess, Nate, do you want to talk about why you were more into Singletary than – Sammy and I, my thing was I thought Singletary was a fine play, but that $1,100 difference between Drake and Singletary, it didn't get me from Hamler to a wide receiver I wanted, and it didn't get me from Logan Thomas to an elite tight end, like, you know, like Hunter Henry or Ertz or Goddard or whatever. And I didn't really feel like it was worth, you know, paying $3,700 or whatever for some random defense.
I appreciate that you did not include Darren Waller in that group.
Darren Waller was 5,700. Also, he sucked today. So what can you do?
I wish you would play Darren Waller, Nate.
Nate, it really would have been really good for the show if you would have played Waller.
I only play Darren Waller when it's like a good spot. This one wasn't. Going up against the Bill Belichick Patriots, not a great spot when you're the only receiver on the team that can do anything. I mean, Singletary and Drake projected very, very similarly from like a workload standpoint, from a pretty much everything standpoint, except for just like the team total and stuff like that. So I had them projected very similarly, even though there was $1,100 difference. And so I partly just wanted to play Singletary because I thought he was such a better per dollar play. But like you said, there was just, I wasn't getting off Hopkins. I wasn't getting off Lockett. And there was nothing that my $1,000 could do off of my wide receiver spot to make up for it. So like, that was honestly the thing that put me over the edge was I was like, who am I going to play at 4K for wide receiver that's going to be so much better than KJ? And I just couldn't find anybody. So, yeah, I stuck with him just because of the ownership. But in GPP, I had like a full Drake fade for Singletary just because I thought he was a better play.
Also, I want to take a second to gloat about Andy Isabella for all the fans of the show. I mean, Andy Isabella, like, he's going to start at wide receiver for them now, right? Like Christian Kirk has lost his job.
Yeah, or at the very dynasty shares.
At the very least, Larry Fitzgerald has to give up some playing time, right? Like they can't have Andy Isabella like running perfect deep routes and scoring touchdowns and then bench him for Christian Kirk has two catches the whole season. Like Christian Kirk only exists to
Dusty tell Larry. Dusty Larry has like four yak on the season. Like he just catches the ball and falls down. It's over. It's over. Let the young guy cook, bro. He breaks tackles. He goes deep. He's super fast. Like it's got to happen. I did have a Hopkins and Isabella GPP lineup that did okay.
Yeah.
You'd be happy. I do have a real life American dollar lineup with Andy.
Oh, that's good.
Dude, I started Isabella on two high stakes teams in the FFPC main event. I swear to God, because I was just like, this is the spot. It's happening. And also, I, you know, Cortland Sutton and Jalen Reagor and all those guys also all got hurt. But, you know, that's neither here nor there.
This is the spot.
This is the spot. I mean, it was the spot. I literally tweeted, what, on like Wednesday or Thursday. I was like, we are going to know if there is any juice in the Isabella thing. Like, if he had gone 3 targets, 1 catch, 8 yards in this game, I would have never talked about him ever again. Like, yeah. It would have just been done.
You guys would have gone down the LaVisca route.
Pretty much, oh, no. All LaVisca,
we're still feeling good, bro.
That pretty much all the 4K running backs worked out. Like, if you would have played Davis, if you would have played Jeff Wilson, if McKinnon. You would have played
even McKinnon did you, fine. They both did.
Daryl Henderson's.
Daryl Henderson. I mean, literally all of those guys panned out. Like,
dude, you just play those guys, and you play Hopkins, A-Rob, and
like. How much more does the running back talent not matter thing do we need to discuss? Like, it doesn't matter. These guys are all fungible.
Yeah.
I'm pissed. I'm pissed at Drake. Like, why didn't he do better?
I know. Seriously, this was us. Like, this was the spot.
Miles Sanders, can we talk about how bad Philly is, by the way?
I mean Philly, when do we – When do we see Jalen Hurts?
When we get that overtime and I don't get that bonus from Sam, I was so tilted. I was literally sitting there like, oh great, now we'll get the rushing yards. Nope.
You got to tilt about Miles Sanders. Everybody played Miles Sanders.
Yeah, still tilting.
I mean, he had 5 quarters to get 100 yards. Couldn't do it. And Carson Wentz had 5 quarters to get like 300 yards.
He ended 4 with 92. Like, all I needed was like one touch.
It's just so crazy how bad that team is. They deserve to tie.
They're really terrible, dude. Like, the Eagles punting. Are the
that punt.
Hey, you guys. I have one more egregious thing to admit to all of you.
Did you not play Eagles D?
No, I did play Eagles D. The team that I stacked the most today was the Philadelphia Eagles with Carson Wentz. And
that's literally inexcusable.
Yeah, Houston Dallas Jackson, Goddard. Where'd you go with? And Deshaun
that was bad before Locke.
Well, it's bad now, especially after everyone got hurt and Carson Wentz has outed himself as a cuck.
Yeah, so was not having Hopkins at Locke.
Oh my God. This is just so. I'm such a fish, dude. I'm such a fish. Like, I was feeling.
Okay, good. Wait. This is the real test. How many times did you think about going back to Herndon this week? How many times, Nate? How many times did you think about playing Herndon?
A good 5. I mean, it was like Logan Thomas, but I can go down to Herndon. Like, the teams you could build Herndon, like Herndon and Singletary. I should have.
No, Herndon, I'm done. Never again. Never, ever, 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 ever.
You cannot play any Adam Gase players under any circumstances ever. Just never, ever, ever do it.
I had a couple of GPP teams that were tanked by the Hogan Zero. I fell for another Jets player. I just need to delete them from my player pool.
This is what I told Cardi, man. Everyone told Cardi this because he was just like, the dome, the YPA in the dome. it's just there are some things that the numbers can't account for, and the numbers can't account. Like, think about this, dude. If you're a Jet, like, why are you even getting up to go do your job?
Yeah, I didn't talk to Cardi at all this week, but I had. Did he have Hogan exposure? Because I had Hogan exposure.
I don't know if he played him at all. I just know that his projection was treating him like the average wide receiver in the situation where all of his teammates died. You know what I mean? Like, if every wide receiver for like, if Cole Beasley was the top wide receiver on the Bills, right? If Diggs and Brown and Knox and Moss were all out for the Bills, we all would have played Cole Beasley, right? We would have been like, all right, it's Cole Beasley. Sure. Yeah. And like, Cardi was projecting him like that. Like, he was like, it was a normal situation. I moved the Jets YPA in our stuff this week down to like 5.6. Like, it's just like, what's even
still
the point?
Still too high.
I mean, do either one of you feel bad about playing Logan Thomas, or do we? Yes.
I mean, I feel bad about every single player I put in my lineup. So Logan Thomas is not free from my scorn. And, I mean, the thing about Logan Thomas is, I mean, he was getting some targets, but, dude, the guy's, like, not producing anything. Like, he's just falling down after he catches the ball too. Like who cares?
I don't feel bad about that at all.
The target share.
I mean, he literally for his price had like the second highest floor from a tight end.
I mean, for as tilting as it seemed, he still got 7 targets. I bet when stuff updates tomorrow, he is still going to be. He might even have more target share than Waller now after this game that Waller just had.
Yeah. Foster Moreau cut him again. caught like an end zone fade over some guy. I'm like, ooh, great play, Waller. Moreau comes up. Woo! Yep. That's the Waller experience.
Yeah. I don't know.
This wasn't the Waller spot, guys. Last week was the Waller spot.
This week, not the Waller spot.
No. Wait, you don't put Waller versus Waller.
What's the Waller spot, Nate?
I'll tell you again when it happens.
Okay.
Do we want to talk about this? There's a millionaire maker for Showdown tomorrow. Do we want to talk about this a little bit before we get out of here?
You guys talk about it. I'm gonna go out on the street and start panhandling.
I was gonna say Sammy would play it if he had entry fees left.
Well, so I think what's interesting is both of these teams are, I think, for fantasy, a little bit different than they were last season. And I don't know how much that's going to be reflected in ownerships. Like last year in Raven slates, Lamar would just be the captain, like every time. Like literally, they had the showdown slate against the Rams and they had one divisional game, I think, against the Steelers. And he ended up being the captain in both of them. He's 1,300 in the flex, 19.5 in the captain. Like I actually think this is maybe famous last words, but like maybe he's like a bad captain play. Like maybe you'd rather like be playing like Miles Boykin and stuff like that this year.
I'll just say this: I am not on board with this take.
No, you just think it's Lamar captain and the yeah.
I mean, he literally has the highest upside of any player, and like I will never. I'm not saying I'm playing him at captain. I haven't looked at tomorrow's slate, but like. It is a bad move to fade the highest upside guy at the captain position. Like what Lamar can do on the field, and he just doesn't need correlation to do it. Like he can literally run for 3 touchdowns and throw to 4 different people for touchdowns. Like on a showdown slate, not having him at captain could literally tank you. Like
Davis, are you going to have 100% Hardman or only 90% Hardman?
So the problem is Watkins is going to play, dude.
Is that a problem?
I mean, it's a problem for Hardman playing more than like 32% of the snaps.
Problem for Mahomes.
Yeah. I mean, so I would like for this to be the Hardman spot. I think that to me, the really interesting captain plays are Marquise Brown and Mark Andrews, where I think those guys will be underowned relative to, you know, Lamar, Mahomes, Kelsey, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like, I think that you could get maybe Marquise Brown at like 5% in captain or something like that, maybe even lower. That seems like a pretty sick spot to me because we've been waiting for a Ravens fireworks game for a while, like since the Tennessee game. I've been waiting for the Lamar double bonus game since then.
This could be it.
Yeah.
And you're going to fade him at captain?
No, I mean, I think there's some reasons to be underweight to him in one doing 150 lineups, though. Because, like, for example, if you play Lamar the captain and you match him with Mark Andrews, you have 5.6 left as your average roster spot. Like, you're fading, like, you're just fading a lot of players who can score a lot of points.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
it's a big good game. I'm excited.
So looking forward to next week. Sammy, if Deontay doesn't play, are we jamming Juju Smith-Schuster? Are they on the main slate?
Oh, it's James Washington week.
They are on the main slate against the Titans. Showdown? Yeah, this is the regular slate.
Okay, great. I'm back in. I checked out for a minute. I was actually checking to see if I could exchange my DK crowns for like something. DK
crowns for dollars. If you guys are really saying Juju's not the number one, then it's got to be James Washington week next week if Deontay's out.
I don't. First of all, that's not how that works, Nate. You're just being a fish.
I'm saying like if I'm playing it out. If you guys think that the number one wide receiver is out on Pittsburgh now,
then you would play the guy who's number two, who becomes the number one.
You think,
Nate, how are you? I mean, how are you like skipping the point of going from the guy to the other guy?
I'm saying Juju was always the number one, and you're just replacing the number two guy. Juju is still the number one. You guys are
no. See the thing about Juju
overreacting is reacting to 2 week sample size. Like, it's insane to me.
Nah, Juju's a beta, bro. I think that's the thing. Juju's a beta, and he needs an alpha to do well. So, like, now that he's got Deontay Johnson, he can, like, catch some touchdowns and stuff because he doesn't have to be the guy, right? Yeah, that's how he was with Antonio Brown. That's how he is with Deontay Johnson. Like, it's all good. Like, Juju's a good player. He's Hines Ward. You know, he blocks pretty well, runs after the catch pretty well, tough guy. You like him. Love Juju. Great player. But
yeah,
he's not the number one.
Well,
Nate, you kind of got to watch the tape. I don't know if you've been watching enough games or, yeah, you know, you've seen what's going on, but you gotta watch the games a little bit.
How'd that go for you this week, Sammy? I was watching the game.
I mean, it was not good watching the games, Nate. It was not good.
Did you even watch the games today, Sammy, or did you just log out?
Yeah, I need to log out of this podcast. This is so, you know what?
The tape. I got to figure out why Hopkins was a bad play because all the numbers told me to play Hopkins. So I guess Edge isn't watching the tape.
Oh, Nate's so insufferable when he wins. This is crazy. Nate, I need to go back and retroactively dunk on you for the last couple weeks. But
Sammy, it was a slam dunk. You play Hopkins. God, like, you don't even have to be sharp to win this week. It was like
so bad.
This week felt like last week. Of like, you don't need to be sharp.
I hate to do it, Sammy, but I actually agree with Nate. It really was not hard to win this week.
I'm in a confident mode, the same team, and
I didn't talk to Davis about stuff at all this week.
We played KJ Hamler, who we don't even know any, like, literally we both just said we don't know which wide receiver position he plays.
I'm just so dead. I'm just like completely buried. Oh my God. Can you guys spare some food for my family? Because CD Lamb and DK Metcalf are not feeding them.
Yeah, we'll send your daughter some pea and carrot puree.
Thanks, man. I need it.
I gotta say, the ratings for this show are really gonna go down if I keep winning stuff. This is not conducive for the show.
I will say, like, Davis has taken a turn a little bit, like, from a brand guy to now, like, actually playing sharp plays every once in a while, and it's not as fun. Like, Davis doesn't make his dumb, like, galaxy brain plays that he used to in cash anymore.
God, imagine. I think 2019 Davis would have played Isabella, though. Would have played Isabella in the Texans defense instead of Hamler in the Eagles defense, and we would have windmilled.
For the sake of the show, I'm a little bit bummed that you've, like, matured a little bit.
Well, I hit the deposit button on DraftKings back in, like, June, maybe. So it's just, like, there's a lot more money involved. I hadn't deposited on DraftKings since college. I don't even remember the last time. But so when you run it down, right, you gotta run it down, and then you appreciate the value of a dollar a little bit more, you know? You know how that goes?
Where is the deposit button, Davis, by the way? Can you run me through a tutorial? Because I'm going to need to.
Yeah, you're going to need it's. So it's top right corner.
Yep.
And if you do it with your credit card instead of your PayPal, you get a lot of points. It's good little manufactured spend there.
My family can eat points.
I mean, you basically can get yourself like a free flight, right? If you have you do really big.
Where?
I mean, dude, I have so – when the world is good again, I have so many airline miles. It's going to be beautiful. I'm going to be able to fly. I'm going to be able to go on, like, three vacations in, like, 2024.
Davis, the sharp move was to book those during all the COVID stuff when all the points were worth, like, 10 times what they are now. You could have flown to, like, Cabo and then just rescheduled your flight a million times.
Airline miles are the new Bitcoin. You should have gotten in on that early.
The weekly buy. It feels like one of my favorite emails I get every week is when I get my weekly buy confirmation. I'm like, yes, we're stacking sats, baby. Sammy's going to have to sell some of his soon to feed his family.
Yeah, I wonder if Frisco Josh is in.
Sammy, you still got that verge you've been holding on to?
Direct transfer, Josh. Hit me up. give you a good price.
Yeah. All right, guys, that's going to do it. The Gilcast, we did it. Sammy lost. Nate won. Nate and I played the same team. Hopefully next week we'll have a little bit more to combat and be angry about. Talk to you guys then.